Hello, everyone. Welcome to a new episode of One Vision, the FinTech Views. Today is a special edition for the show. This is your host, Theo, but I will be having a partner in crime with me. Joining us today on a new endeavor with four mini series in one is Sonia, my wonderful friend and founder of Quire. Welcome to the show again, Sonia. Tell us a little bit about Quire and what are we doing today exactly?
Thank you for having me back, Theo. It's great to be here. And a little bit about Quire. Quire is a diversity tech company. We are focused on bringing the voices of people of color, women, and non-binary professionals in finance and tech to conference stages and media. We do that in a couple of different ways. We work directly with conferences to do that. And we also have a platform called our Voices platform that directly connects conference organizers and media with hundreds of brilliant experts in finance and tech who are all people of color, women, or non-binary professionals in those fields. And we also, for the same folks who are on that platform, our Voices platform, we offer media and speaking training and professional development. And I'm really excited about all of the experts on the platform. We showcase their expertise in various ways and thrilled to bring four super quick mini interviews to the One Vision podcast to share expertise from these brilliant voices.
Well, we are super excited and honored to be able to be part of it and help shine the light on amazing people from everywhere. So first up, without further ado, I would like to welcome Valerie Escobar. Hello, Valerie. Welcome to the show.
Hi there. Thank you for having me.
So tell us a little bit about what you do for work and where are you located?
Yes, I am a certified financial planner, which means that I love to talk about money. I love to help people with money, anything to do with the dollar sign. That's what I do. And I am based out of Kansas City, but in our digital world, I help clients all over the country and really all over the world.
So tell us a little bit about the topic that you absolutely, absolutely love to talk about and share knowledge about.
Yeah. So I love talking about owning your finances. I love that it really is about telling people that they don't need to have a PhD in investments, but they simply need to be fearless and be willing to look at their own situation fearlessly.
And what are the top three things that your audience, who they are, need to know about the topic? Give us the quick headline for each of the three things.
Perfect. Yeah. So really anybody that uses money, spends money, that's my audience. But I really love to target women and people of color because I am a woman and I am a person of color. And so the top thing that I will talk to them about is the fact that money is emotional, that your own self-perception is really important when looking at your financial picture, and that representation within the world of finance is going to matter and influence that. Secondly, I would say that I love to focus on the fact that wealth is really a balance of income versus your spending and your savings. And so regardless of how much money is coming in or out, it's still required to strike that balance. And finally, that fear is not an excuse and that avoidance is not a good strategy. We all need to be willing to have this conversation in order to really empower yourself.
Love it. So now if we were to say, give us 90 seconds, get us up to speed on the first thing that you talked about. Money is personal. Go.
Yeah, absolutely. So for myself, when I came into the world of finance, I grew up with, my parents were both immigrants. I was first generation here. And so growing up, we did not experience a lot of opportunity for access to wealth or to earning it. And so for myself, I decided, as a necessity, it was required that I either got lucky, meaning I would hit the lotto or buy some wonderful stock that just skyrocketed, or I would have to do it myself. And the latter is where it needed to go. And so as I'm doing that and trying to figure out how do I make an earning, how do I really start to build up that income, I started realizing that my own self-perception mattered so much in that if I viewed myself as less than, then I would negotiate less for pay. I would be less resilient in working hard in the workforce so I could get myself promoted. I would be willing to take less flexible schedules as far as working goes. And so that is a huge part of what we need to view about ourselves and realize where we're cutting ourselves short and really taking into account that things do need to change it, but we have power to be able to do that.
Thank you so much for sharing. Now, last fun question that we would be asking everyone. If you were to put 3 items in a time capsule to open in 100 years, what would those 3 things be?
Okay, so first I would put a cat video because I feel like nowadays everybody loves a cat video. I'd be curious if people in 100 years would. I'd also put, silly enough, like a solar power calculator because I think it's this brilliant little tiny piece of technology. Curious how important or relevant, what it's thought of in 100 years. And finally, the movie Alien. I don't know if you realize this, but it's supposed to be taking place in the year 2122, so 100 years from now. So I think it'd be funny for them to be like, oh, this is what they thought life would be like today. Hopefully it is not. But
learn something new. In addition to the Choir's Voices platform, where can we find out more about you or get in touch with you?
I work at Mariner, like, you know, in the sea, a mariner. So if you look at the Mariner website or at LinkedIn, Valerie Escobar, CFP.
Thank you so much for sharing that with us, Valerie. And best of luck in what you do and hope to see you soon.
Thank you.
Thanks, Valerie. Time for interview number 2. Let's get started. So please tell me your name and what you do for work and where you're located.
Thank you for having me. My name is Mona Shah. I have worked in financial services for about 20 years, and I just relocated to Seattle.
All right. And who is your ideal audience and what topic do you absolutely love to talk with that audience about?
My ideal audience would be people at financial services conferences. And I love chatting with people about how we approach diversity and inclusion.
A topic I'm interested in as well. What are the top 3 things that your audience needs to know about that topic? Why don't you give us the headline for each one?
Sure. So I am intentionally choosing 3 smaller bite-sized concepts because I find it's easier for our brains to take in and internalize. So first, recognizing the way that people have been categorized historically are usually based on how they are marginalized or how the majority perceived them, not based on their identity or how they see themselves. Second, diversity training is not one size fits all. Smaller companies are likely to have a recruiting issue. Larger companies are trying to retain employees from these underrepresented groups. So for listeners of this podcast, if they're in a smaller company, they might benefit from making their job postings and websites more inclusive, or working with a recruiting company to identify a more diverse candidate. And then third, results from inclusion efforts take time. Like other business goals, success here is one of those experiences where it's about the journey, not the destination.
All right. So of those 3 headlines, could you get us up to speed on the first one that you told us?
Absolutely. So for clarity, I am going to use a specific example for a category that I fall into. It absolutely applies to other underrepresented groups as well. When I fill out a survey that asks about race or ethnicity, I have to evaluate what the options are. Initially, it was Black or white. Some years ago, other became a category. Nowadays, I am typically selecting the Asian American box. That term encompasses more than 15 countries and languages. The common lived experience for most people in that group is answering the where are you from question. And typically, someone would respond by country, India, Cambodia, Taiwan. But a lot of us learned early on that not everyone is familiar with those places. So it can be a longer and somewhat awkward conversation. If someone is trying to feel included, instead of elaborating on their ethnic difference, they might try to wrap up the conversation early by just saying Asian American and hoping that there are no follow-up questions to that term. In contrast, people from Europe don't have to do that. People from Ireland or Belgium don't have to lump themselves under the European umbrella because most Americans can recognize those places. So my suggestion here is to start by recognizing the imperfections in the classification system. There's strength in numbers. It absolutely can be useful, and it's an improvement. And also, if we are going to be intentional about diversity and inclusion, we want to be aware of how people identify themselves and when the majority is assigning a label to a group.
Thank you for that. Now, we have a fun question that we're asking each guest. If you could put three items in a time capsule to open in 100 years, what three items would they be?
I'm thinking about the events of 100 years ago. So I would say a guide to handling pandemics, medically and socially. As an avid traveler, I would choose to put a record of how long flights take. I'd like to think that people in the future will laugh at this notion that it takes 6 hours to go from the East Coast to the West Coast. And third, this podcast recording. There's been a phenomenal amount of change in the last 100 years. And I would love for people in 2124 to be able to measure how much more progress has been made.
Those are great items for a time capsule. Tell us, in addition to Choir's Voices platform, where can people find more about you or get in touch?
Sure. You can message me on LinkedIn. Go to linkedin.com/IN/MOHNA.
All right. And that's your first name, right?
Yes.
All right. Great. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. It's a pleasure to see you as always. Thanks for sharing your expertise.
Thank you for having me.
All right, and right on. Now we will be having our third conversation with Anthony Williams. Hello, Dr. Anthony. Welcome to the show. Hello.
So,
we are good. Tell us a little bit about what you do for work and where are you located?
Let's see. I'm a financial advisor located in the uptown area of Houston, Texas, by the Galleria. As you know, I like to shop. And I'm actually originally from Wyoming, but I've lived here for the majority of my life. So you can say I'm a Houstonian, only root for the Oilers and the Texans. So
that works. Who is your ideal audience in your line of work? And what topic do you typically love to talk about with that particular audience?
My ideal audience is, because I like to talk a lot, is really people that just like to listen. So if you happen to be in front of me and you're listening to me, you're the audience. You know, just because I talk like this, just what I do. You know, so, but, you know, it makes me more relatable, I think, to everybody. You know, being relatable is key, especially in my business, so that, you know, I can speak to everybody, you know.
What are the top three things that you like to talk about the most?
Okay, top three things that I like to talk about. Well, what I really like to talk about is success, right? So when it comes to the top three things when coming to success, it comes to particular the types of success, how they can vary, you know, making it personal, how that definition of success can help you set more meaningful goals and have a more fulfilling life, balancing that success so that you have a more holistic approach to reaching that success and embracing, you know, a growth mindset, because success thrives on the continuous, you know, ability to learn and adapt.
All right. So we talked about goals. We talked about having a fulfilling life, balancing, and the growth mindset. Of these, if you were to give us a headline news with Dr. Anthony Williams, what would that be?
You know, success can vary. I mean, that's the news. You know, success can vary. For a long time, I thought success is only monetary. You're growing up, you want to be rich, you you know, that's the goal, right? And then you actually get that money and you don't really feel as complete as you feel like you should. So you're like, okay, well, it wasn't about just the money. It's about my time. I don't want to be in a box all day. I want my time as well. So sometimes your success can be about your time. It can be about your family. It can be about your health. You know, your wealth can be defined in so many different things. And recognizing that those different definitions can enable you to have a more inclusive perspective, because everybody's, doesn't have to seek vast wealth, right? Some can gain their fulfillment through art, through their relationships or their contributions to society. Respecting all those definitions of success can lead to a more inclusive society where all aspirations, can be encouraged and supported. You got to shift the focus just from not just wealth accumulation, but to a holistic well-being, encouraging, societal changes of priorities.
There's more success than just money. I think that's what I'm getting at.
I mean, there's lots of cultures out here, right? So you need to embrace diverse definitions of success, right? Have, be able to collaborate and have empathy for different definitions of success, especially if you want to be more inclusive about everybody else's needs and not just your needs, but everybody's needs, what they view as success. Because you could be the richest man in the world, nobody is looking up to you, If you're a rich criminal, nobody's looking up to you. That's not for me. Embrace success, and there's more definitions for success. Make it personal and about yourself.
That sounds good. Now, finally, the last fun question that we do ask everyone: if you were to put three items in a time capsule to be opened in 100 years, what would those three items be?
That's a tough one because there's so many changes that happen in 100 years. I came up with a few, and I think I would put probably the top cell phone, because people can't get them out their hands, which would be an iPhone. I mean, they stay in your hands, but hopefully in 100 years, we've got something better than that. Probably a cryptocurrency wallet, a few of the top coins in it, with a password, of course, because you can't forget that password, or you did it for nothing, And then a share of some stock of choice, maybe the one with the largest market cap at the time.
Okay, I think I can go with that. Now, finally, in addition to the Quiet Voices platform, where can people find out more about you or get in touch with you?
Well, I try to consider myself a little tech savvy. So hopefully with my SEO optimization, you could go to Google, search for Dr. Anthony L. Williams at Galeen Financial or LPL Financial, and you'd be able to find me. But more specifically, I'm on LinkedIn as A.L. Williams, DBA, which is a Doctor of Business Administration, or you put Dr. Anthony Williams in LinkedIn. I'm also on Facebook and Twitter as Doc Wall Street, D-O-C, Wall Street, W-A-L-S-T.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Hope to see you soon.
Thank you.
All right, we are ready for our final interview of the day. Welcome, Johans. Can you tell us your full name, what you do for work, and where you're located?
My name is Johans Harrison. I am a financial planner, behavioral financial advisor to be exact. I'm located in Dallas, Texas, and I founded the firm MoneyScript Wealth Management.
Who is your ideal audience to chat with, and what topic do you absolutely love to talk with them about?
My ideal audience are my fellow financial advisors. They are my favorite individuals to speak to, and I love talking to them about integrating behavioral financial advice into a referral-based practice.
All right. So if you could tell us just the headlines of the top three things that financial advisors need to know about that referral-based practice based on behavioral financial advice, what are those top three headlines?
The top three headlines are establishing their personal and team values, Also, finding referral conversations they can have with their clients and prospects. And then finally, creating a repeatable process to rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat.
All right, great. Can you tell me that first one again and then get us up to speed on that in, say, 90 seconds or less?
I can. So starting with team values. So our team values for MoneyScript are clients come first mentality, financial literacy, we're here to promote it, personal development, leadership, and then of course, teamwork. So my strategy is to help other advisors establish their own values so that when they're communicating with their clients, they can do it from a place of here's what our values are and here what we stand for. And that tends to help those clients and prospects have something to refer to that's not just another money manager, because who just wants another money manager? No, they want someone that they can be intimate with about their dreams, their goals, and their values, and find strategies to get closer to them.
Thank you so much for sharing that. The last fun question we've asked every guest, if you could put three items in a time capsule to be opened in 100 years, what would they be?
Okay, this was a tough one for me, but I think I have my three items. So I am a music nerd. I love music. So I would need the 100 top songs over the last 100 years to go into that time capsule. I don't know if it's going to be a list, or it probably can't be a CD. You can't listen to it. So we could load those onto an iPhone, just because I'd love to see what we have, or I'd love for someone to see what we have 100 years from now versus what we have. And it does need to include a charger so they can at least turn it on and maybe get to those 100 songs. And then finally, I would want 100 of Carl Richards' behavior gap drawings to go in there. And I'd love to see, well, I guess I won't see because it's 100 years from now, but I'd love for someone to see how those drawings have stood the test of time of 100 years.
Oh, that's so sweet. What a great box to open in 100 years. So, all right, last question. In addition to Choir's Voices platform, where can people find you or get in touch?
One of the great places to find me is anywhere you listen to podcasts, the MoneyScript podcast. We are now in our fourth season, so come check us out and get your dose of financial literacy. And then, of course, MoneyScriptWealth.com, MoneyScript.com, LinkedIn, Instagram, all those fun places. We're there. Come look for me.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And for that, thank you, Valerie, Mona, Anthony, and Johannes for joining us for today's special episode of One Vision with Sonia. We'll talk to you all next week.